When I was a kid, my mom would read me stories from this giant book of fairy tales. It had a big impact on my life and developed an extreme love for stories in me. A lot of us, when we're kids, we think we're going to grow up to be this new, improved, and mature human with different tastes and a whole new consciousness. But that didn't happen to me. I'm still that weird kid that liked stories. If you tell me a good story well, you'll probably see an expression on my face that includes my eyebrows raised and my mouth open. This week, I conclude my conversation with John Duryea. He tells us one of my favorite stories for showing how God really wants to talk to us. Part of the reason I love it so much is because John was such a skeptic. He didn't believe God still talked to us in such ways. But guess what? My God rocked him. John's skepticism motivated him to seek the truth, and his pursuit led to his life being changed. What do you say, listener? Are you ready for story time? Me too. Hey, welcome to Chasing the Kingdom, where our goal is to provide hope and wisdom for spirit-led entrepreneurs. I'm John Balawa, and I believe God wants to use entrepreneurs to make the world better. Romans 8:19 says that the world is decaying and groaning for the revealing of God's sons and daughters. And that means the world needs you. And there are problems that can't be solved until you step into your God-given identity. If you want to stir up those gifts, then you're in the right place. Let's get hyped up for today's show. We had dinner with you and Carol. Andrew and I had dinner with you and Carol recently, and it was a great conversation. You guys were asking us questions about our past, and I totally forgot stuff that God did for me. It's so easy. It's so easy to forget, especially in my case, because I got saved in extremely traumatic situations. And by all natural realities, I should probably not be a functioning human being. And so it actually is kind of a miracle that I am even able to talk to people and function in society. That really is a miracle. But I forget. I forget because that's such not a part of my life anymore. You know, I was extremely abused. And, you know, I don't think of myself as a victim. And so I forget all this stuff. But after talking to you, it reminded me of, oh my gosh, there were so many victories God had for me and has caused for me that could not be a coincidence. And I was reading in Psalm 103 this morning where it says, forget not God's benefits. You know, I think that is so key in not only spiritual success, but emotional success, because we were built by the manufacturer to need the parts that he provides. And so once you step out of what you were made for, the parts start to break down. And you could have your own reality and you could like deny the manufacturer and you could deny all this stuff, but eventually your parts will start to break down, whether you believe in who made you, whether you believe in what your real function is. Life will happen to you and you have no say in that. You have to go back to the manufacturer. You have to go back to purpose. And one of the things is to remember, forget not the benefits of the Lord. It's what gives us hope. It's what gives us function. It's what gives us identity. It's what gives us purpose.
Yeah. I agree with that. You know, so, I was talking the other night about hardwired for success, that study. But you know what? We are ourselves, we're hardwired to connect to God, you know, and there is a direct connection with us to him through his son. know, you have to go through his son. His son is the provision. And that's how you make the connection. But we are hardwired to connect to God. And without that connection, you know, we flounder. We, like I said, we break down. Our brain gets affected negatively. We're seeing a lot of that. I mean, this is probably, I don't know if this is true, but it seems true that this is a generation that has not really been raised up in church. In my time, we were raised up with church. It didn't mean that necessarily we became born again, things like that. But we had a respect. We had a knowledge of God. One of the things I had is at least I did have a knowledge of God. I knew he was three persons in one God. That much I knew. The relational part I didn't know. I think so many people today don't even have that foundational understanding because there's no or very little church attendance, perhaps. So it makes it a little bit tougher. You know, at least I knew about the Lord. And when I learned that I could know him better, you know, I was on board with that. So it's maybe a little bit more challenging today because I think there's less of that foundation that's been laid by families, in part because families have been going through their own struggles, a lot of divorce, a lot of breakup, broken homes and whatnot. And sometimes church attendance is just not a priority. And so the children suffer from not having that basic foundation. It perhaps as growing up, they feel it even more, you know. But they're hungry all the more too, I would say. And God is there.
Right. We were built to hunger after him. You know, again, Psalm 103, forget not the benefits of the Lord. One of the benefits is that he speaks to us. You know, it boggles my mind that when I find out there are Christians that don't believe God speaks to them. It boggles my mind because like that is one of the foundational, I would not have been saved if God didn't speak to me. I didn't want him, you know, and it took miracles, again, situations where God had to walk me through certain things. But you know, the Bible says, my sheep shall know my voice, right? That my sheep shall know my voice. It is those who are led by the Spirit that are the sons and daughters of God, you know? And so, forget not the benefits. That is one of the benefits. And, you know, I would love for you to tell me one of my favorite stories. You know, everyone like has like heard stories and that really just inspired them. Yours is one of my favorite stories. I think I told you this because before I heard your story, I got to know you and you have this, you know, I knew right away that you had this very analytical mind. So I knew like when you started telling me the story about how God spoke, I was like, is this John? Because it was so miraculous. And for him to speak to you like that. In fact, when he started speaking to you, you were critical of it, right? You were just like, this can't be, you know? So I would love for you to tell the audience that story because it's one of the things that I think about sometimes when I want to get encouraged. So,
oh, that's nice. Thank you. Yeah, it encouraged me. And this happened in 2021 where I was typical Monday morning and I was just reading the word. And I came across Isaiah chapter 11 in the first couple of verses. And this is what it says. I have it right here. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. And I've read that before and skimmed over it. But for some reason that morning, I was like, think about that. And so I started considering the imagery, which is a little strange imagery, you know, a stump and branches don't normally come out of a root. You know, the roots are underground and whatnot. So I thought about it for a few minutes and then I just went on and kind of didn't think about it any longer. Well, later that day, I happened to be going through some videos, YouTube videos. And I was just looking for, you know, some that would look interesting. And I came across one where Sid Roth was interviewing a man by the name of Chris Reed who had a dream. And he starts right out by reading Isaiah chapter 11. So that got my attention and I focused in on that video and I listened. Now, it turned out to be about 40 minutes long. And Chris was getting into an understanding of what follows after that scripture in Isaiah 11. It talks about the Spirit of the Lord, or the seven spirits of the Lord. And these are seven spirits that are before his throne. Anytime his throne is mentioned, it's the seven lampstands, seven lights. It's there. But Chris began to explain what these spirits were. And as he was teaching, I was just taking notes. I was so interested. I'd never heard this before. I want to know more. And I was learning about the various seven spirits and their purpose and how this is the essence of Holy Spirit. I was just like, I've never heard this before. Lots of notes. I was taken by it. Finally, toward the end of about that 30-minute interview, Chris, who has a prophetic gift or word of knowledge, he began prophesying about a woman as he's talking to the camera. There's nobody in the audience. In fact, I think this was just a one-on-one interview he had with Sid Roth. So I don't think there was any audience for this one. And he starts talking about a woman by name, by age, what she does to keep busy, talks about her grandchildren. And I'm like, whoa, what's going on here? Then he had a house number where she lived and a street name. And I said, come on, can this be real? Does God really move through someone with such specificity? I've never heard that before. I've heard general words, prophetic words. I've received many myself. But something like this was brand new to me. And when I heard it, I became skeptical. I said, now, is this guy of God or what? What's going on here, you know? And so I became a little discouraged. And then I wondered if his teaching was even valid, because who has this kind of a gift? But the bottom line was, he gave so much information. He gave the woman's first name and street address and whatnot, that I said, let me see if I can find this woman. Now, I didn't know she was in the state of Kansas, because he said she was in Kansas. And so I said, let me see. I went online, I put some things in, and slowly information came to me that this woman did exist, that there was such a woman in Kansas, and I even got several phone numbers, because her name, there were several people with her same name. So I wrote the phone numbers down, and then I said, do I dare call this person, try to locate this person, and ask her if this is legit? Does she know who this guy is? Are they in cahoots, you know? And I finally got her. I think it was the third phone call. And she picks up the phone. And I said, is this Evelyn? She goes, yes. And I explained who I was, that I was calling from Orlando. And I said, this is going to sound strange. And as I'm talking to her, I'm feeling like,
stalker.
Why did I zone? That's how I felt. I said, I'm feeling like this is not real. And that was getting hard to just hang up on me. But as I started sharing, she listened. And I stopped and I said, you know, what do you think so far? I was trying to feel her out, but all she said was, continue. So I continued. And I said, okay, you've got grandchildren. Here are their names. And one of them was in a car accident, I understand. But God's got a plan for his life, and he's going to be okay and whatnot. And you do this for a living, and your age is about 70, 71. And finally she said, John, everything you said is correct. I said, even the name of the grandchildren? I gave her the three names that Chris had said. She goes, those are my grandchildren. And I was like, oh, wow. I felt like I had entered a new atmosphere. This was a God thing. I mean, I don't normally do this kind of stuff. But I wanted to know if this gift was genuine. Does God do this? And when it came back that indeed he does, I was floored. I was floored by it.
So she scared?
Like, I was very hesitant to do it. I was a little embarrassed. So, and I was afraid she was just going to, you know, brush me off and call me a lunatic. Kind of. That's what I was expecting. But I pursued it anyway. I said, because this is so important. I really want to know if this teaching is, you know, of God. That had self-ministered to me, but that's another story. So I encouraged her to watch the video, and she did. And then she calls me back about 5 hours later, and she goes, John, I found the video you told me about. I invited my family. Now, she's got about 20 grandkids. I invited, and four children. I invited my children. I invited the grandkids to come over, and they watched this video. And God did miracles, because in her family, there was problems. There was divorce, heading for divorce for a couple. They've been together a long time, but they just didn't think it was working out. other children raised in the church but drifted away from the church. They watched this video and suddenly their faith got renewed. That couple's faith got renewed. They ended the divorce. They realized God knows who they are and he's watching them. And he, with such specifics, they couldn't deny it. It was amazing. So that testimony she gave back to me was like, wonderful. I mean, that's what it's all about. So I thank God that he moved on me to tell her there was a video about her on the internet that she wasn't aware of. She now became aware of, and it touched her whole family. And then she gives a testimony. So the second part of the story is, I said, this is pretty good. I said, I should probably let Sid Roth and his people know about this. They might be interested. So I happened to know somebody who worked there, who was a student that we were students at Regent University. We graduated together. This is in the 80s, and we lost touch. But I knew that he didn't work at for Sid Roth Ministries. So I emailed him, and I told him the story, and he said, this is interesting. I'm going to, you know, let Sid hear about this. And he asked me if I would type it up or just send him all the details. And so I sat down, and I went through everything. I sent it to him. He goes, yeah, Sid is interested. He'd like to interview her. So they asked me to contact her again and get her name and number and see if she would give permission. Of course, she was very willing to do that. She was familiar with Sid Roth, so I knew that she was a person of faith. And so they set up an interview with her, and then they invited me on the interview as well, which I wasn't expecting, because I guess they wanted to know how, you know, I made the connection. So he made the video, I think 3 days after I read this verse, and which is what started the ball rolling. So you never know what can happen one day and where you'll be 2 or 3 days later. God can do anything. You know, this was so amazing. So he made a video, and it's out there. He calls it something about the greatest prophecy he ever heard with proof, something like that, you know. So it's out there now, and it's interesting. But Evelyn, her segment of it, she talks about how God has just been active in her life and whatnot. She brings the whole thing together in a beautiful way. It was just a beautiful story, a beautiful testimony. And we can't limit God. His miracles and his working will blow us away. This blew me away. Now I'm a believer, you know, that God can do anything. And even as I read, what was I reading? I was reading in Judges, I think, where Samuel is anointing King Saul. Do you remember that story? Israel won.
Yes, yes.
They want a king. God says, I'm your king, you know. But they said, no, we want a king like the other nations. You know, we don't want you to be our king. We want a man to be our king. And God warned them, oh, if you have a king, he's going to demand things of you that you're not going to like. And they said, basically, we don't care. We want to be like the other nations. So God granted it. And it was God who chose Saul to be the first king of Israel. But it was Samuel, the prophet, who God revealed that Saul was going to be the man. And of course, Samuel did anoint Saul. But more than that, as I read that chapter, I saw the same workings of the Spirit that I saw with this woman, Evelyn, and Chris Reed, happening between Samuel and King Saul, because Samuel would tell Saul, I want you to go from here, and I want you to travel over here where you're going to meet some people who were going to tell you that the, what was he looking for, donkeys or something, his father's donkeys, that they've been found. And he told them exactly where to go to meet them. And then he told them to go a little bit further on, and he was going to meet three other people. And this one was going to be carrying goats, this one was going to be carrying wine, and this one's going to be carrying 3 loaves of bread, of which they're going to offer you 2 loaves of bread, and you should accept it. So this kind of a thing was happening back then, and it was happening today. So I know that this prophetic word or this word of knowledge with such specificity exists. God is moving. It's like he's bringing these older gifts from days of yore back to present time.
So this must have like really opened your mind to how God communicates with us, right? Because you didn't believe God spoke to us like that before this happened, right?
Well, I didn't at all. In fact, the only other time I heard that, it was some phony guy, I forget his name. He used to be on TV, but he had an earpiece in and someone was feeding in information about the people of the audience. And he was giving them things like their street name and address and phone numbers.
And he was turned out to be, you know, a phony. So in the back of my mind, I was thinking, is this phony too? But now I know that is a true gift, you know, and people can abuse it and try to, well, whatever people do.
Once people get involved, you know, things could, you know, I'll share like this experience I had with God. So, I've told in the podcast before, I was, when I got saved, I hated people. Like people don't, I think they don't believe me when I say that, but I really did hate people. They, you have to remember, I've been hurt, you know, like I was abused. So like, I thought everyone was like that. And I literally just didn't want to talk to people. I couldn't look people in the eye. And so, you know, when I got saved, that didn't heal immediately. I still hated people. But I remember God spoke to me through a scripture. It just is one of those things where, you know, you're a new Christian. You say, okay, I'm going to start reading the Bible. And then this one scripture just jumped out at me and I didn't know why. And the scripture is, an empty stable is clean, but a stable with oxen comes much power. And I didn't understand that verse, but I knew God was trying to talk to me. It just jumped out. And so I kept asking him, like, God, you know, what do you mean by that? And he eventually answered, and he told me, and this is the way he spoke to me, because I was just raw. You know, I didn't have like this incredible church community that was helping me raise. I was saved in a Catholic church and no one was talking to me. And so I was, you know, all I had was my experiences with God. And he told me, he said, John, I know you. You would rather be in some mountain alone with me and until you die. And he was right. I wanted to become a monk. I wanted to shave my head and become a monk and hide in a cave and just me and God. And he told me, John, you know, I know you want to be alone with me and just spend time with me, and you could do that. And just like an empty stable is clean, you'll have an idea of peace. You won't actually experience, that's not my peace, but you won't be bothered, and you'll have a form of peace. But if you want my power, if you want to experience like the power peace that I have, you're going to have to go in the stable with oxen. And guess what? You're going to be stepping in crap. You know, he actually used the SH word. And I know that kind of like would offend people from hearing, but that's what I heard. And he spoke to me at my level. And and that hit me so hard. I realized that if I wanted to really experience God, then I would have to learn his ways. You know, and Moses said, you know, God, I want to know you and your ways. I don't think it's possible to know God unless you know his ways. Because if you don't know his ways, you're going to have, I think, an idol. You're gonna imagine God not as he is. And I think that's what's happening a lot in the world nowadays, is that people want to know God. They just don't like the way he moves. You know, his rules offend them, or his laws offend them. No, that's not the God I serve. Even though the Bible clearly says these things, they say, that's not God. And so if you don't know God's ways, then you're going to form him into an image that you created. But like, I learned back then, I was like, okay, I need to step out of my comfort zone. I guess I got to talk to people. I guess I got to like get hurt. And so like, or put myself in a position where it's possible to be hurt. And it's kind of like what happened to you there. Because I know you. Like when you told me the story, I was so shocked. Because I was like, that doesn't sound like John. John's very analytical. It doesn't like sound like he's like into like God speaks that way, but God does speak that way. I've seen it many, many times. I got saved because he spoke like that to me. He did incredible miracles that I can't explain, you know? And so that woman, I think you told me, like, one of her kids was headed for divorce and they decided to save the marriage. There were a few people in her family that got saved because of the experience. And so that's the power of God speaking into our lives. The thing is, we're just not open. We're not open to God speaking. And so we put him in a box. And the Bible says that one time God spoke and a bunch of people thought it was thunder, you know? And that's what's happening right now. God is speaking, but because people don't even think it's an option for God to speak to them, they're thinking it's natural stuff. They're thinking it's thunder, mm-hmm. you know? So I don't know. What do you think?
Well, you know what? It sounds like you're describing the parable of the sower. So some of them, they get that information, they get that reality, but there's the enemy who will pluck it away from them as soon as possible and have them forget it or say, this isn't true. Don't go there. But the fact is, God wants to deposit his seed into our heart. He wants there to be fruit in our lives. He wants us to know him. That's the best fruit there is, to know that he exists. He's a friend. He loves you intensely. You're not his enemy. Nothing you've done has caused him to turn his back on you. You know, we're the ones that have turned our back on him. He's never turned his back on us. Adam and Eve were the ones who hid. God didn't hide from them, you know. So he wants us to know him and to hear his voice, you know. And he's very willing to speak and to blow our minds with how he will speak to us, you know. So there's another thing, another scripture I wanted to say. This comes from the book of Job because it also has to do with that stump and that root and that branch thing. That's very similar. Let me just read this to you, and I've got a purpose for reading this. In Job chapter 14, starting in verse 7, at least there is hope for a tree. If it is cut down, it will sprout again, and its new shoots will not fail. Its roots may grow old in the ground, and its stump die in the soil. Yet at the scent of water, I love that term, yet at the scent of water, it will bud and it will put forth shoots like a plant. So even if someone feels, you know, like there's no life in them, the scent of water, which I think is what we're giving right now, the scent of hope, the reality of God, will bring them back to life again. And there are ministries that had preceded us, that were magnificent and the power. I believe that those roots are going to be sending up shoots today in our time. It's already happening, you know, with what God is doing. As I look back at some of the, I'm going to give you one example, of people of old, we know of them, but we don't know their faith. For example, Nicholas, who we now call Saint Nicholas, who's often called Santa Claus today, was a real person. And he was a powerful Christian. Now, this is going to blow your mind. When I read this, it blew my mind. He'd be invited to a supper, and they would serve him partridge or quail or something of that nature, you know, be on a plate before him. And he was able to put his hands on them, and they came back to life. The birds came back to life. The cooked birds came back to life. I was like, no way. But that's recorded. And I'm like, at first of all, that's so fantastic. But then when I think about it, I said, is it really that fantastic? When Jesus would heal a person's eyes who was born blind, those eyes were as good as cooked and dead. Yet when he just touched them or took his spittle and put it on, they came back to life, fully feathered, so to speak, you know, like these birds, fully back to life. That's how amazing some of these ministries were back in the day that we're not aware of, which is why I like going back to learn. I had no idea this is our history, that this was done. And even what was done then is probably going to be small compared to what God will do in our generation. And it's happening, and we need to be prepared for it. So we can't be in a box. We can't put God in a box. But even bringing
come quail back to life, really shouldn't even amaze us. You know, that's something he did, which is how he got his reputation, you know, because he wasn't forgotten in history. He did things like that. I think God will do things like that for those of us who are willing. It's going to blow our mind, but it's going to be a wonderful journey, you know. We're going to be laughing the whole way. It's like, I can't believe how great he is, how wonderful he is. There's no limit. The only limit is ourselves. So let's not put any limit on him. Our heart be open and be amazed at what he's going to do. It's happening. I love it. I love that story.
That's a great story. It makes me think, I was watching, I think it was Walking Dead. I love that series. And again, I'm a Christian that likes watching Walking Dead. But anyways, I don't know if it was actually Walking Dead or one of the spinoffs, but there was a scene where one of the characters was saying, we need to be realistic. And the other person he was talking to says, I don't think living in reality is practical anymore. Meaning like the world was ending, like everyone was dying in the story, and you know, zombies were coming up, and there was just hopelessness. And so basically he was saying it's not practical to just live in what we think is the reality. We need to hope, because if we don't hope for something better, we won't be able to go on living, you know. And I think that is where we're at right now in the world. This world needs God's hope. And God's hope doesn't come in a conventional way. It, a lot of times, it opposes what we think is reality. Mm-hmm. You know, but if you read the Bible and all the miracles that happen there, it's weird, because I think us in the Western church read the Bible as if it was some kind of parable story, bedtime story, instead of like Jesus was actually a real person that did these miracles that went against the laws of physics, that went against the laws of gravity or all these other laws, any other type of laws that you believe. He is the God of the universe, and he has the ability to break all those laws. But when he moves that way, we could miss it because we're choosing to live in the laws that we are comfortable with. And so I just think that now more than ever, this world needs the voice of God. We need to start believing again that he talks to us, and that he could change any situation, and that there is always hope. We are no longer in a time where quote unquote reality is practical. We need the real reality, which is the hope of God.
Amen. I think people are looking for the supernatural because they know it exists. It's true. And God wants to reveal his supernatural power and love. He wants to amaze us so that we come to him. You know, the Pharisees back in Jesus' day, when they saw all the wonderful miracles that Jesus was doing, they got angry at him. You know, and they sort of to attack him. I guess they couldn't handle, you know, the power that was resident in the Lord and the love he was demonstrating by healing people and, you know, the lame getting up and walking and all of that. They couldn't believe what they were seeing. They would criticize him. Oh, you did it on a Sabbath, you know. Any excuse not to believe what was right in front of their eyes, supernatural love of God. I think in this day, because of the darkness, the depression that we talked about earlier in our interview here, is we're in a similar situation. And it's when things are dark like this that God shines, his light shines the brightest, and it's going to be amazing. And his love, but also the demonstration of his power, I think will be, that hooks a lot of people, you know, that God is real, you know. So I think that's our future. I think that's what we're heading into. And I think those of us who have a relationship with God need to be open to how big he is. You know, it's going to blow our mind, but it'll be a fun ride. That's what I think.
Sean, I want to thank you for being on the show. I appreciate you. And you're definitely a blessing.
Thank you, John. It's been my pleasure to be with you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Hey, I hope you liked the show. If you got something from it and want to bless me back, leave a review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, and also subscribe to my channel. If you want to connect with me on social media, my Instagram is @kingdom.moves. I pray that God gives you hope and that you step into everything He's got planned for you. Peace.